Blog Talk Radio.
Every one of you for tuning in on tonight. As you could probably tell in my voice, I am excited. I am excited and congested. Amen. Amen. Well, again, welcome to the studio on tonight. I am glad that you were able to tune in. We have an exciting show on tonight. I always get excited when it comes time to do Thursday night I really get excited. God has always, he has always have a word. He always have a rhema word for me. And I tell you all that if you've been following me for any amount of time, you know that when I come on this show, it's always, always, always about me first, meaning God has either corrected me or encouraged me or pruned me or punished me, whatever the case may be. He's always dealing with me first to get my stuff right first, and then he allows me to bless you, my listening audience, with what he's, the revelation that he's given me so that I could pass it on to you in hopes that it could bless you as it has blessed me. Amen. So, again, I thank you for your support and tuning in. Well, tonight I have a special guest. This young man is one of my greatest inspirations. He is a huge part. God has used this young man to help me grow. He has used this young man to help me grow. This young man is a reflection. I can look at him and see so much of me. I can see the pains. I can see the joys. I can see the laughter, the sorrow, everything that I'm going through in life, everything that I'm processing. Everybody knows my whole ministry is about processing the pain. And the Lord used this young man to help me process through so many of my life's pains from birth up to now. And so I just love him so much. And I'm not just saying this because I birthed him out of my own very womb, but I'm saying this because his life was a miracle or is a miracle. Anyone that knows Coach D knows the story. I was barren. I was Hannah. I was barren for many years. The Lord blessed me with surrogate children that I raised and took care of as my own, and they're going to still be my own. But me birthing a child, this one right here, I was not supposed to have any children at all. I didn't even have physically the tools, the equipment that I would need to have a child. And the Lord seemed fit to make sure that I have a child. And the Lord told me, I'm not giving you a child for you. I'm not doing this for you, Denise, but I'm doing this that people that know you cannot have kids, will know that I'm God. Amen. So God allowed me to conceive a child and bring this child to life, you know. And the people who knew me, my family, my friends that knew that I couldn't have kids, they knew that it was an act of God. And I don't know how that may have changed other people's lives once that miracle took place, but I'm sure that it did something for somebody. I'm sure that if somebody even remotely didn't believe, I know that they believe now. Amen. And so as a result of that, I know that he has a special call on his life. So when the Lord says to me, Denise, be obedient, let him speak, then I step back and let him speak, because I do realize I'm his mother, but I also realize that he's my brother in Christ, that he has his own walk, his own journey with the Lord, and not provoked by me, not provoked by mama. And it's amazing to see him go, and without getting too much in his business, Sunday was an amazing day, but I won't embarrass him. But anyway, hallelujah. I just want to welcome the king and the prophet into the studio. Darius, Elijah, are you in the studio on tonight?
Yes, I am in the studio on tonight, and I hear everything that you are saying. And yes, I would have to agree that that I'm glad to have you as my mom, as you have taught me a lot of things in my childhood, and I have learned from those things. And so today I'm going to be talking about Jonah 1, verse 1 through 4. Now the word of God came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, So he paid the fare thereof and went down on into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So I'm going to be talking about how we have five senses and they all lead to worry, and how worry is a sin, as it is actually leading you away from the plans that God has set for you. And
amen.
God has plans for everyone. And our five senses are hear, touch, taste, smell, and sight. And basically with those, we have where we can see stuff, but they all lead to one thing and they all lead to worry. And in Jonah's case, Jonah heard God with his five senses. He heard what God said, but his five senses made him think was, oh, I heard about this Nineveh place. This place is a very dangerous place to be going up against. And so when he heard that, the first thing that came to his head was, I don't think I want to completely get myself killed to talk about God's word, causing him to worry more and more and causing him to flee from God's word and his plan.
So what are some modern-day Jonah situations that you see people going through? Because I'm sure there are some modern-day situations that you see people go through.
I remember a question that people would ask Christians, and that question would always be about, would you be afraid of dying? And now there would be some people that would instantly be able to answer that question, but then there would be those people that would sit there thinking, and you know that they're thinking in their head is, because they're worried, because they hear the word is, are you afraid of dying? And the first word they hear is dying, and they think is, do I want to die? Like, that's something that I honestly would be pretty afraid of, is dying, and I got family, I got friends, I got people I love, and I don't want to really leave them. And so they hear it, like I said, five senses. They hear that, and then they start just freaking out, and they worry, causing them to forget about what could happen if they do die, of being able to see God and go to heaven.
Definitely, we see where death. People worry about death. I mean, I could think people worry about having their needs met, financially. People worry about their health. So there's so many things that we worry about. And as you were saying, that worrying is a sin, because worrying takes us away from trusting God. It causes us to focus on what we're worrying about and focus less on what God has purpose and plan for us. And as we probably, many of us know, that there are many, many scriptures in the Bible that literally encourages us from worrying and encourages us from being anxious. One of the scriptures that we're standing on tonight is John 14:27, that tells us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So we're saying, hey, God is telling us, he's giving us peace, peace that passes all understanding. It says, let this peace of Christ rule in your heart. I mean, the scripture after scripture is telling us that the Lord wants us to be in a place of peace. He wants us to depend on him and on him alone. And it literally, he's saying, and throughout all the scriptures that we were studying today about this show, all the scriptures, what he's saying, why worry? Why wrestle with worrying when we have the word, the living word? And we also know as believers that the word is productive and that it's life. It says that God watches over his word to perform it. so that it won't return unto him void. So he's watching to perform his word. So if God is watching to perform his word, and his word is productive in his life to us as believers, and I'm saying that to us as believers because these words are just letters, and the Bible is just a book. But when we are born again and we give our lives to Christ, and Christ's Holy Spirit comes and now resides in us, that is the key that opens up the power of this book. These words now become life because he said the letter killeth and the spirit gives life. So it's only by the very presence of God, the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us, that calls these words on these pages to come to life. And God is watching over his word. So if God is watching over his word, and I know that as me being a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord, his Spirit, is living on the inside of me. So if he's living on the inside of me, and now these words no longer are just letter, but they're spirit, and he's watching over them to perform them, then that tells me that what I should be doing more in my life instead of worrying is speaking the word of God, because he hears his word. And if he's watching over to perform it, when I'm speaking it by his spirit on the inside of me, then that word is coming to life. So when I'm saying I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, I'm speaking God's word back to him. And so he's watching over it to perform it. So what's the performance? The performance is going to be that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Amen? So we want to, so tonight's
amen.
Show is really focusing on, amen. So tonight's show is really focusing on how do we, as believers, how do we begin to activate the word? How do we begin to stand on the word? How do we begin to speak God's word back to him so that he can begin to perform his word? Amen, Darius?
Amen to that. And
okay, I didn't know if you had something that you wanted to say. Okay.
Oh, no. I'm just going to say is that, yes, us as Christians, we will always come, there will always be things that will be put ahead of us that will try to take us away from God's path that he has set for us. Like I said, that worry is a sin as it takes you against God, and worry is a aftermath of the five senses, and the five senses are completely against God's word, as each sense, if you think about it with every kind of sense that you have, each one all leads to worry. Say you see a fight, or you see something that looks dangerous, the first thing you start to think is you start to worry. You start to want not get involved. If you smell something, that smells horrific on the ground, the first thing you start thinking is you're worried that it's not something that's supposed to be natural, and so you start to walk away. You taste something that doesn't taste right to you, you start to worry. Every five senses that we have, if you hear something, if you touch something that doesn't feel right or hear right, you start to worry. So every five senses leads to worry, which is against God's plan that he has set for you.
Amen. So am I correct in you said that the five worry, and are you saying so the five senses is logical? Is that correct? The five senses is where we get our reasoning and our logic from. Correct.
Correct.
So if I hear this correctly, the five senses is our logic, our reasoning, and we are using our five senses that now leads to worry instead of the word of God. So we would say then that logic is in rebellion to faith, and faith is the word of God, because the word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing, there go five senses, but hearing by the word of God. So in other words, it's not so much that hearing is the sin, that it's not so much that hearing will
have to lead you to worry, but
it's more so that hearing if not combined to or married to the Word of God, can lead you to worry. And so, again, it leads to our logic, and our logic is in rebellion to faith. So we can't be moved by what we see, a five-sense seeing. We have to be walk by faith, and that's what the Word of God says. We're not supposed to walk by sight, but we're supposed to walk by faith. Amen?
Yes, and I remember, amen to that, and I remember that you would play a song, and that song would actually say what you just said. You would say, it would sing like faith not by sight, or it was something like that. You remember that song?
I do. I do remember that song that speaks about we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, I do. So that's scripture. That's scripture. That's the Word of God that's telling us that because he understands, God knows, you know, that the flesh is the five senses, and he knows that we can't be governed by our five senses, because if we're governed by our five senses, then that means that we are being governed by our flesh. And that doesn't always line up with the Word of God, because sometimes we could see ourselves as, you know, see, like you said, we could see, we could hear, we could, you know, I may not see myself as being more than a conqueror. You know, I may only could focus on all the negative things that has happened in my life. I may only be able to focus on what's currently going on in my life. And so, therefore, I can't see myself as being more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. But that's the Word of God. So if the Word says it, you know, what is the real truth? You know, is my truth the real truth? Is your truth the real truth, or is the Word the real truth? And as believers, the truth is the sound doctrine, the Word of God. So if God says that I'm more than a conqueror, then I need to stand on that and believe that I'm more than a conqueror, regardless of what I see around me, regardless of what I had to go through. I need to know, because the Word of God says so. And we know that he watches over his Word to perform it. If the Word of God said that I am healed by his stripes, then I need to stand on that word that I am healed by his stripes, and trust the process, and trust, you know, where God is going with that. And like you said, again, it's natural. Now, I want to say this, it's natural because we are in the flesh. It's a natural process of the flesh to worry. It's a natural process of the flesh to worry, but we are not supposed to give in to that, to the flesh, because the Word of God tells us to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Part of the lust of the flesh is the emotions. You know, again, if I said the worry, the doubt, the fear, all these things that could keep us so bottled up and so bound up that we will not step out on what the Word of God is telling us to step out on. Darius, I don't know if you're at liberty to share maybe a situation that may have you've experienced in your life about maybe stepping out, you know, stepping out on faith and not being hostage to fear. I mean, one of the things I could think about, you know, you spent your whole life in private school, and you've had a transition this year. I don't know if that transition brought any feelings of worry or fear.
It did a little bit because when I was younger, I remember that public school was used as a treatment of doing better in private school. So of course I had a little bit of some nervous tendencies about it, but coming out here and going to public school now, I see that it's not as bad as it was explained to me, in that it's very nice, and that my fear was completely outdone by that.
Okay. So, yes. So he did have a fear was a tool. Public school was a tool. Public school was a tool that was used to scare him into doing great in school to get good grades. And I'm not saying that's right, but that's real. That's what happened. So he had this fear. He had this perception of what public school was about. And so because of that, he had got this perception as a very young kid all the way up into his early teenagers that, oh, I don't want to go to public school because public school, they're going to be fighting. Public school, they're going to be doing this. Public school, I'm going to have to experience this. And so I could only imagine here you get to your junior year, and behold, you wind up in public school, only to find out that now you're facing your fears, and only to find out that your fears were deceiving because your experience didn't compare to your fear. Amen?
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen. So I wanted to take some time, and I know we're still early in the show. I want to get audience participation. If you are listening in on tonight and you have a comment to add to the show or have a question for our guest, please dial 1 on your dial pad. We're doing something a little different on tonight, again, on processing the pain. I have a special guest in the studio, and it is none other than my own seed who is sharing the stage with me on tonight, and that's a blessing for me. It's a blessing when you have children that you've instilled certain principles and things in them, and then for them to come back and bring those principles back to you. Not only that, when they hold you accountable to what you're holding them accountable to, and so that's a blessing as well to have my son who holds me accountable, especially when I go to that spirit of worry or fear. And he has to remind me, Mom, you need to get into a quiet place, or Mom, you need to go before God. And that's a blessing, amen. So I'm glad to have you in the studio on tonight, Darius Elijah Hamilton. Thank you for joining us in the studio on tonight. Thank you for showing us that the five senses will lead to worry. And worry is in rebellion to our faith because it is a sin, and it causes us not to be able to walk fully in the things of God that he has for us. Amen. So appreciate you sharing that logic is because the five senses is logic. You know, what's logical, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch, these are all things that's logical. You know, they speak to our logic. And that brings me to a story. So I'm sharing. We're just doing some sharing on tonight. So if you're listening in, we want to again welcome you into the studio. I have myself and my son is joining us, Darius Hamilton. And we were talking about why wrestle with worry when we have the living word as believers. And we when we know the word and we know what the word says and we know, again, that God watches over his word to perform it, that there's power in the word. And so when we have the word, we shouldn't be worrying. And we know worrying is a byproduct of our five senses. It's part of the flesh to worry. You know, I have to say, I always go back to the Garden of Gethsemane because Jesus, you know, right before he was crucified, he was in the garden. And I would have to say that, would you say, Darius, that perhaps there was a spirit of worry in the garden on that night?
Yes, I would definitely say there was a spirit of worry, especially on Jesus Christ himself. He had a spirit of worry on him because he was worried about, well, actually, very, very ironic is he was afraid of dying. He was asking God to take the burden off of him, because he knew what was coming, that he would have to, of what his destiny was, what God's plan for him was, and he was worried of dying, and he was asking God to take it away from him, that he didn't want to do it, and that he wished that he could find someone else to take that place for him.
Good observation, and you are correct. There was a spirit of worry upon Jesus, and he did not. Fear of the dying, fear of knowing what was ahead of him. And yet, what did he do that was so extraordinary? Because, see, God did not say that we won't be burdened by our five senses. God did not say that we won't be troubled. He didn't say that we won't have fear. He didn't say that we won't have worry. This is not what he's saying. He's saying when these spirits come upon us, we are supposed to resist them. We are supposed to overcome them. We are supposed to cast down. You know, the word of God said, cast down vain imagination. Cast down worry. Cast down fear. Cast down anxiety. Cast down anything that will attempt to exalt itself against the knowledge of God's word. Bringing it to captivity. Every thought. Every negative thought. He said, bring it into captivity. Cast it out. Bring it down. And so in the garden, Jesus did have a spirit of worry. And we don't know how many hours, but I'm just thinking when I read the scripture, he went back to his team who was there sleeping twice, on two or three occasions, saying, hey, wake up. I'm over here tripping. I'm worried. I'm scared, and you guys are sleeping. Come on now. Stay up and pray with me. It's just but an hour. So he went back to them a couple of times, and that would tell me that he didn't immediately cast down that spirit, that thought of worry. He didn't, you know, he battled with that. And then at the end, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He wrestled with it. He wrestled, and then he had to stand on the word. He had to stand on the word of God. And we don't know, you know, we only can make assumptions. When you think about everything that he went through, it had to come with great pain and suffering. And even during that course, we don't know. There could be still been fear. You know, you get this pain and suffering. There still could have been the emotion, the five senses, because he's in the flesh. That's the flesh. His flesh is being wounded. So his flesh had to respond to that. And so I would still say, that in you know that those five senses had to be very active during that time. So again, he's not saying he knows that we're in the flesh, but he also knows that he's overcome the flesh, and so he knows also that there's power in his word, and that we have the capabilities to stand on the word of God. We have the capabilities to not worry. We have the capabilities to trust that he's meeting all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We have, you know, we have to trust that, you know, what his word says, because if we're not trusting what the word says, then we are not believers, because the whole point of believing is believing, you know, what he's telling us, believing what his word says. That's why we're called believers, because we believe the word of God. Amen. And so we got to be able to believe it, and we got to be able to stand on it. And the big thing is that all of that comes with, I think, the ability to not worry or not to stay embedded in worry is to have faith. And so if you're not reading the word of God, if you're not taking the time to know the word of God, to study the word of God, to meditate on the word of God, then that's why you're worrying, because you have to have something to combat worry, to combat the worrying, and the only thing you have to combat it is the word. So if you don't know what God's promises are, if you don't know what his word is, then you don't have that. You don't have nothing to battle against worry, because if you're finding out that you're, for example, that you're, you know, that you're, let's just say you can't pay your bill, you know, and that first thing that brings is worry. Oh, my gosh, I can't pay my bill. I'm going to pay my bill. It's through his word. It's through you going into prayer, and then you begin to meditate on his word. And oftentimes you may even think back to the last time you couldn't pay your bill. You think about, okay, well, God did it before. He'll do it again. That's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So just because you can't see how you're going to pay this bill, it's your faith. And it says faith, again, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you're so filled with the Word of God, that your faith is there, and your faith will drive you to trust what the Word of God says. Amen. So we got to know that word is so important, and there's so many of us that don't take the time to understand and hear the Word of God. You know, yes, it's great to go to church on Sunday. People say, well, church don't want, you know, going to church don't make you saved, and that's true. That's very true. But once you're saved, then you know that going to church is something that the Bible speaks of, because it talks about the assembling. It talks about fellowship. And so fellowship doesn't necessarily have to be this building with the cross on the top and all and the pulpit. But fellowship is coming amongst other believers and speaking about the Word of God and studying the Word of God. And so we want to make sure that you are doing that. You have to do that. That's how you get edified. You know, if you're going through a life situation and life issues, the worst thing we could do and the first thing we normally do as humans is most of us, if we keep it real, most of us, as soon as we get ready to go through problems, the first thing we do is separate ourselves from God. Guess why? Because when we start going through worry, when we start going through life issues, what's the first thing we do? Darius, when we're going through, the first thing we do is worry, right? So if the first thing we do is worry, and worry is a sin, and what does sin do?
Sin drives us away from God's word, drives us away from God's plan.
Exactly. So if sin separates us from God, and as soon as we go through a trouble, the first thing we do is worry, that's natural. If we stay in that worrying state, it separates us from God. So the first thing we do when we're going through, most of us, is we initially fall back from God. And we'll go through all this worrying and crying and snotting and angry and bitter and all this other emotions we go through. We got to go through all of that. And then finally, after we're exhausted, finally, after we're beat down, finally, we come back to God and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. And when in reality, as soon as the trouble came, the first thing we should have did was been running towards God and running towards his word, you know, so that we could begin to trust in what God has purpose for that season of our life. You know, we may not understand everything, and God may not give us all the answers. He may not give us details. He may not give us a plan-by-plan action. But I don't know about you, but I know about me. How many of us on here have been through a situation, and God did not give us the details? But when it was all said and done, when it was over, and we looked back, we realized that God was in control, that he knew all the time, that he was in control, that he worked that thing out. And that's what testimonies is about, is because we are able to look and say, wow, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for God, then I wouldn't have made it through here. If it had not been for God, I still wouldn't be alive. Had it not been for God, my marriage wouldn't have been saved. Had it not been for God, I know there are people listening in tonight that had it not been for God moments in their lives. And that is the truth of the matter. Had it not been for God, you know, those are our testimonies, and those testimonies don't belong to you. They belong to God. And when God brings you through situations, when God delivers you, when God heals you, when God meets your needs, when God, you know, whatever that thing is that God is doing for you, and he's done it, we should be testifying. We should be telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord, because people are won. People are won by our testimony. Or they're won by, you know, Revelation 12:11 said that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, first and foremost, Jesus. That's the first and foremost how they overcame, was by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. We have this. We got to give our testimony, you know. When you go to anything good, if you go to a restaurant, or if you, whatever you do and you it's good, you come back and you tell everybody, oh, my gosh, we went to this place and it was absolutely wonderful. Or we went here and the food was great. Or we went here and it was so beautiful. We come back and we're always giving good news. Well, guess what the gospel is? It's the good news. And we as believers, when we accept Jesus Christ, when we begin to move, our whole goal is supposed to be speaking. We're supposed to be telling people about the good news. What's that good news? The good news of Christ. If he, you know, what he did for me, he could do for you. Because we already know that we're living in a world that's hopeless. We know that we're living in a world that's deteriorating. It's deteriorating. It's dying. It's dying. Everything around us is dying. We're dying. You know, it's, you know, we're in entropy. And so we have to bring hope to a world that's hopeless. What's the hope? Well, the hope is I know I'm going to die. One day I'm going to die. Just as sure as I'm living, I'm going to die. But my hope is that because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, my hope is that there's life after this, that there I have eternal life. That's my hope. And that's what we're supposed to be sharing with the world, the hope of Jesus, the hope of salvation. We're supposed to be sharing that as believers. And if we're, I won't go as far as to tell you that if you're not going to church and you ain't bringing somebody to church with you, no, I'm not going to tell you that because you are the church. But if you're a believer and you're not telling somebody about Jesus Christ, if you're a believer and you've been a believer for any amount of time and you can't think of one person that you led to Christ, then you need to really look at where you at. Why are you not telling people about Christ? Has he not done anything good for you? Is there nothing worthy to report? Amen? Is there nothing worthy to report? And sometimes we can get so caught up in our current situations and circumstances that we'll forget the goodness of God. We'll forget what he's doing. We'll get caught up in life. Life. You know, we'll get caught up in death. We'll get caught up in lack, disease, disorder. All these things we'll get caught up in, and we forget the goodness of God. We forget what he has already done and what he's doing, even in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the storm. You know, in the natural, there's a place in the storm that you could get to where there's peace. And Jesus is that peace in the midst of our storms. He's in the eye of the storm. And if we could just get into that place, the eye of the storm, things could be going to hell around us. And yet, we're in this place of peace. We're in this place of peace. And people don't understand that peace because he said in the Word in John, he said, John 14, he said, it's not peace as the world gives it. It's my peace that I give you. It passes all understanding. It's peace that passes all understanding. People won't understand how you can still be at peace when everything around you is falling apart. People won't understand how you can still go on and do what you do when what you've been through. You've been through this. How can you still move forward? People would start trying to understand, how are you still alive after what you've been through? Hallelujah. And I'm not just saying this because it's a cute thing to say. I'm sitting up here and I'm getting excited because I'm thinking about some situations and circumstances in my life and in the life of people that I love dearly. I'm thinking about it, only by God's grace they still here. Had it not been for God, still here. Only by God's grace, I'm still here. That I ain't somewhere in the corner that lost my mind. Only by God's grace. Only by God's grace that you listening in on tonight. Because you know you should have been dead a long time ago. You know you should have been dead a long time ago. Many of us went through things in our childhood or maybe in our adulthood. We made some poor choices, some poor decisions. And we know it could have cost us something. Even if it didn't cost us our life, it could have cost us our sound mind. Because we could look at friends that we grew up with, that we could pass down our old neighborhood, and we could see them walking the streets talking to themselves. And we'll say stuff like, oh, that's just crazy, such and such. Oh, that's just crazy, such and such. But we could have been crazy, such and such, too. Oh, but God had a plan. Amen. And so I got on a tangent here. We started off with worry, and I haven't got to hear, but I'm speaking what I believe the Holy Spirit would have us to hear on tonight. Derek, do you have anything else you want to add to the conversation as we start coming towards the getting close towards the close of our show? Is there anything else that you would like to add, man of God?
From what I know, no, I don't actually, because I used up most of my information earlier in the show talking about Jonah and how worry is all an aftermath of the five senses. So I don't have anything else to talk about on this show, but I would have to say that this was a very good show, that I think we did get on a topic that was very well made and well thought out, and I pray that you will have more and more better shows in the future.
Well, I thank you, man of God. Thank you for being willing to participate on tonight's show. And I thank you. I thank God for what he's doing in your life. And I thank God that he's making it known to you, not through me. This has nothing to do with me. You know, we only could be our parents. We only could be mama, daddy for so long. Because he's got to find, God has to become God to him, just like God had to become God to me and God had to become God to you. You know, we start off with praying parents and praying grandparents, but at some point we begin to have life experiences and we have to start knowing God for ourselves. We got to know that I'm not just serving God because mama said I had to. We have to start knowing for ourselves that I'm serving God because now it's personal, you know. And I think, you know, we go through that stage, and I don't know, as mom, sitting back watching my seed, I'm starting to see that he's starting to see that this ain't about me. This vertical relationship ain't about me, mama, no more, but that he got to know God for himself, and he's got to listen to the Holy Spirit that's inside of him. And so I'm really excited to see what God is doing in your life. There, we really are. If there's any callers listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. We would love to hear from you. If you have any encouraging words for the man of God as he continues to grow towards the things of God, if you have any words of encouragement, please dial 1 on your dial pad. We would love to hear from you. We are getting towards the end of the show. I'm just going to go over some bullet points that I want to just bring out about tonight's show. One of the things we want you to remember is that worry is often driven by the five senses, what we hear, see, smell, touch, feel, taste. and then that the five senses are also governed by the flesh. There are logic. It's the five senses is where we get our information for our logic, our reasoning. And what we want you to know is that worry is logic, and logic is a rebellion to faith. And faith says we can't go by what we see. We have to go by faith, what we don't see. We have to go by a hope. Amen. We do have a caller, area code 404, last 4. 3497, you are live on Processing the Pain.
I just want to say tonight's show was a really good show, and to have Darius in the studio with you tonight just goes to show how, you know, how you're parenting, you know, your son to be grounded and with the Spirit of the Lord. And tonight's topic was very enlightening, and because even though we pray a lot, we believe in God, stuff like that, it's like you still worry, and it seems like, I know for me, it's like I pray a lot, I do read, but I still have that sense of worry, and I feel like, am I trusting in the Lord like I say I am? Because I'm still worrying, even though I put everything in God's hands. So, you know, I thank you guys for tonight's show and stuff like that, because that's something that I do struggle with in trying not to worry when I'm supposed to be leaving everything in God's hands. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Well, thank you, my sister. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support on tonight. Thank you. Thank you so much for those words of wisdom as well. Amen. Is there anyone else that have any comments or questions about tonight's show? Again, you can dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show. Again, we want to just encourage you, when the spirit of worry comes upon you, start combating that worry with the word of God. Find you some scriptures about worrying something that will encourage you. You know, even if it's just one scripture, you know, I have a scripture that when I begin to worry, my favorite scripture is, one of my favorite scriptures when I begin to worry is, let me just find that scripture really quickly here. It is in, sorry about that. It is in, bear with me here. And I mean, I don't know. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. And that's the one I was speaking. I know it by heart, and I don't know where I just went blank with. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That scripture I just meditate on. I've been meditating on it for years, because when I start worrying and my mind starts going and I get all these thoughts and I start doubting and get all these things that start coming up in my mind, because the battlefield is in our mind. That's where it starts. And if we meditate on it long enough, then it comes, it transfers from our mind and it comes into existence. So I try to cast down negative things, and that's my scripture that I stand on. You may have a different scripture that you want to find that helps you to get through those times when worry and doubt and fear comes upon you. Find one scripture. I'm not saying you got to memorize 10 scriptures. Find that one scripture that ministers to your heart. That one scripture, you know, your one scripture might be John 14 that tells us, peace I leave with you. You know, it might be Colossians 3:15 that says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. It could be 2 Thessalonians 3:16 that says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I mean, it could be Psalms 55:22 that says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Proverbs 12:25 says, worry weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So there's so many scriptures, and I could go on and on. But you pray, and you figure out what's that one scripture that you want to begin to meditate on. And every time the worry comes up against you, combat it with the word. Every time it comes up against you, combat it with the word. Speak the word over it. Speak the word over it. Speak the word over it. I mean, I would love to hear the testimonies. If I'm challenging you all who's listening in on tonight, I am challenging you to find a scripture that you could meditate on. And when worry, fear, and doubt begins to play in your head, and it begins to be repetitive in your brain, that you could begin to combat it with this scripture. And then when it comes up, you speak your scripture. When it comes up, you speak your scripture. And you'll find that you're doing that several times throughout the day. You're speaking the scripture over it. What better way of praying? You know, a girlfriend of mine is on this real mission right now about praying. And, you know, praying is power. And that's true. And you know, I don't know that a lot of people even know what prayer is. We hear people saying, pray, pray for me, I pray for you. We hear people, but do people really, do they know what prayer is? Some people don't need, I've heard people say, well, I don't know how to pray. And the best way we could pray is praying, is speaking the word of God back to God, speaking the word of God over the situation. So get your scripture and just test it. Don't test Coach D, but just test it. See if that scripture that God gives to you, that he puts on your heart. We got Google now. You don't have to know the Bible inside out. All you got to do is Google scriptures for worry, and it's going to pop up probably 25 or 30 scriptures about worry. And you go through them, and you find out which one speaks to you. And as you begin to read those scriptures, one or two of those scriptures, maybe more, they're going to jump off the page, and they're going to minister to you. They're going to speak to you, and you're going to say, wow, this is it. And then just every morning when you get up, quote that scripture. Throughout the day, quote that scripture. When you go to bed at night, quote that scripture and see if you don't start having the peace. See if you don't start casting down vain imaginations. See if you're not casting your cares upon the Lord. You will start, whatever that scripture is saying, you'll start living it. It'll become you. Because you're repetitiously speaking that scripture. And as you speak the scripture becomes easy. And as the scripture becomes easy, speaking the scripture becomes a pleasure. And as the scripture becomes a pleasure, speaking the scripture will happen often. And as you speak the scripture often, then speaking that scripture becomes a habit. Called repo. And I got that from Vertical Leap and my mentors. But it is. It's a habit now. And you'll find now that it won't even be a second thought. You'll find that you're going throughout your day, as soon as something happens, the first thing you'll do is start speaking your scripture. It'll just become a habit. It'll become a part of you. Amen? So anyway, we want to thank you for tuning in on tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. We appreciate you. You are loved and appreciated. We thank you for your continued support. If the show has been a blessing to you at any show on Thursday nights or Wednesday nights, if the shows are a blessing, please, 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 we don't take any type of, at this time, we don't take any type of donations. We don't take offerings. Everything we're doing is self-funded. The best thing that our listening audience can do for us is to continue to support us. We love you for that. And tell somebody. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell family members, tell somebody, hey, in the comfort of your living room, you could sit and you could get the word. In the comfort of your living room, you could sit and be encouraged, empowered, educated. You could be prayed for. In the comfort of your living room, you don't even have to leave. So just let somebody else know about MCD Network and invite them. You may not can invite them to church, but you can invite them to tune into the program where they're going to get sound doctrine. Amen. So, again, we appreciate you listening in on tonight. Stay tuned for next Wednesday. We are finishing out the month of October. We've been on Wednesday night, woman to woman. We've been acknowledging that this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we've been having special guests that have been coming in and telling their testimony of tragedy and triumph and how the Lord has delivered them out of abuse, and they're doing wonderful things to help other people get brought out of abusive situations. So that's on Wednesday nights, and then again every week on Thursday nights you have Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. Again, we appreciate you for tuning in tonight. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a wonderful weekend.
surrender.